What is up, everybody? Thanks for calling into the Dynasty 401. Week 3 preseason. We're about to have the season start, but today's a surprise. You guys already know I got Jeff, the fantasy futurist, on today. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's up, y'all?
And of course, you guys already know I got Derek from the good old boys FF. What's up, Derek?
Oh, not much. What y'all doing? How you doing? Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You guys are – I enjoy you guys having on the podcast. Not that I don't have my homies. Quick shout-out to Dirty Fozzie and
Dirty Bear
One. Miss those guys coming on. But it's nice to be able to have, you know, a mix of different people to come on. It's almost kind of like a CBS, you know, sports or, you know, whatever with Dave Howard and Dave Richard or whatever. And
yo, those Dave guys. I love me some Dave Richard. I love it.
But I think this is cool. I like having you guys on. But today's episode, we're going to be talking about fantasy football, of course. A little bit of preseason, week 3. A lot more starters are coming out. We're going to be hearing Derek's top 5. And any news that's been popping, there's some stuff that's been coming out. I'm going to have to jump on the Twitter, check on what's happening. And we're just going to talk about fantasy football. I mean, the season's right around the corner. We need to know these things.
Mm-hmm. The biggest for me, you know, in this season, I'm thinking fantasy wise, RB depth. And when I think RB depth, I want to, even if I think I'm sure of a spot, I want to make sure I have the depth. Injuries happen, things happen. And much like the Rams did, they went and got their guy, they traded for Sony Michel. Derek, what do you think about that?
You know, I can definitely see why they did it. It makes sense, right? Running backs are a position that, you know, they're constantly getting hit. Every time they hit the ball or get the ball, they're getting popped. But and we've seen that before, where, you know, Darrell Henderson, while is a good and a proficient back, isn't necessarily built to withstand that 3-down type of workload, or at least we haven't seen that yet in an NFL season, because every time before, you saw him kind of paired up with a couple of other backs there, whether that was the Malcolm Brown, whether that was Cam Akers, whether that was, you know, the previous, you know, his rookie year, you know, it was always kind of that running back by committee approach out there. So one of those that it makes sense for them to go out and get it. Although, you know, we've seen a lot of things with Sean McVay coming out saying that Darrell Henderson is a very capable work back. He's definitely going to be involved, things like that.
Yeah,
it makes
sense. Mm-hmm.
Right. It makes sense, if nothing else, to have somebody else there. Because it's a position now with Cam Akers having gone down, you know, Darrell Henderson is your backup heading into this, or was your backup heading into the season on your roster construct. So you need some more depth there. I don't know that we're going to necessarily see Sony Michel have a giant workload, but I think he'll.
Oh, Robbie, go ahead. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm a Sony truther here. And it might be because I'm a homer in a home league and home dynasty league. And I had him, I had some pieces of him and I was like, oh, I'm gonna prove myself right here with Sony, you know. But go ahead, Robbie.
Don't get me wrong. Darrell Henderson is gonna do. He's gonna do good. The thing is, the Rams just wanted to make sure that they had a more of a solidified veteran to be able to come in case Henderson was gonna get hurt. Now I don't think Sony's gonna step right in, but it is reported that Sony's would be ready to go week one. So I would assume that. That means that they're going to use him a little bit in some type of fashion to get him acclimated to the team, get him to know, you know, the rest of the offense. But I can see Sony Michel having a part later on the season where it really counts when people are in playoffs. I think he's going to have a role back later on, and I think now's the time to buy him for cheap. Well, depending on if somebody already has him, but I've picked him up in quite a few leagues. I feel like people have kind of just thrown them away, you know, into the waivers.
Yeah.
Well, especially because leading into that, it was, again, a very crowded New England backfield. And maybe I misspoke a little bit when I said I don't see him having a massive workload. He will still have a piece to this. But I think overall, the course of the season, you're probably going to see him, you know, get somewhere between somewhere around about 150 rush attempts to it, which is a good healthy average over the course of the season. You're probably going
to
see him get
8 to 10 attempts.
Exactly. That's where I kind of see him coming in, given Daryl Henderson some spell work in there. But I think you're, when it's all said and done, you're going to see Daryl Henderson still around probably 225 attempts there, and you'll see Sony probably around that 150. So it's going to be that running back by committee with Daryl Henderson having the majority workload.
What do you, about an hour ago, Everett is already becoming the favorite for Wilson. I don't know if any of you guys have been listening to the podcast. I hope so. This is your first time. Welcome in. I mean, you've welcome to the greatest, one of the greatest podcasts besides the good old boys here in the Fantasy Futurists,
you know, that's right.
This, I mean, we got you guys covered, but for real, I've been talking about Everett, been talking about him all off season. He's becoming Wilson's favorite target. Of course he is. You guys bought him late or drafted him late. Yeah, I mean, he's about to pop off for you. What's your guys' take on Everett? Do you really see him, being? Honestly, I could see him finishing top five tight end with Wilson.
Top five might be a little bit of a stretch for me, but I can definitely see him getting it there.
Who's your top five tight ends? Who's your top
five? Ooh. Well, the top four for sure is kind of the big four out there where you're talking Kelce, Waller, Kittle. Then you're going to probably pick up Hockenson and Andrews is kind of how I see that. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that all of those guys are going to be the target leader on their team or be competing for the target leader on any one of those squads. And I just don't see Gerald Everett getting up there to compete with DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett
think,
for targets.
I don't think he's going to be a target hog. I think he's going to be a touchdown machine. It's going to be the touchdowns where every other game he has at least, I could see him having at least five, to seven targets a game, catch, 40 to 70, maybe 80 yards and a touchdown every other game. I think that's pretty decent for him.
Yeah.
I can certainly see that.
He's a nice two tight end value play for sure. You're gonna get the value, that volume, the opportunity. Russell Wilson loves his tight ends. Will Disley happened. Jacob Hollister happened. So, this could happen as well. And Everett is proved himself in Los Angeles. So, I don't see why he couldn't be a at least a good value. Tight end flex, tight end, two tight end type of league situation for you.
Well, and keep in mind, too, the new offensive coordinator at Seattle just came from the Rams as well. Mm. So, you've already got it where Gerald Everett knows the playbook that they're wanting to put in up there, that offensive coordinator is going to want to mix in, things like that. So we covered the Seahawks about a month ago, and Gerald Everett has consistently been my late round tight end, darling that I'm consistently going after in league. So I'm on the Gerald Everett train with y'all.
Okay.
Attaboy. What do you guys think? I don't know if you've heard Travis Fulgham, unfortunately, is on the roster bubble heading into final cuts, but Trey Lance, I say he starts week one. Or Jimmy G, this is what's going to happen. Jimmy G is going to start. And he's just going to start to look horrible. And then Lance is going to come in halfway through. I mean, they're already splitting first team reps today and yesterday. I mean, you don't just split first team reps right when the season's about to begin if you're not interested in honestly really possibly putting him in. Because these reps are valuable, are they not?
No, they certainly are. I don't know that... I'm a believer that you're going to see the switch happen partway through the season, but I think that they're going to roll out there and have Jimmy G be the starter. And there's a good chance that the Seahawks, start off kind of that 2-2 type of bubble there. They've got a tough start to the season there, and we could see some of that come through. But that's one of those that I do think, because Trey Lance is a very, very young quarterback. Even for a rookie, he's incredibly young. And yes. And Shanahan is a guy that I think he understands the value of what they gave away to go out and get their guy here. And so he's going to set him up for a situation to be successful when he comes in. And it's not going to be one of those that we've seen with a lot of other rookies come in where that early draft capital, they've kind of get thrown out there and you got to learn on the fly. I think that's one of those that you're going to see Shanahan really bring him along to the point where he's going to step out on the field and immediately be an impact. And I think that that's probably going to take just a little bit more time than what week one's going to allow for.
Derek, what's your over or under, let's say, five games, let's say six games, Trey Lance starts. You guys are saying week one right here. I personally don't think, I think it'll be half that. I'm a Jimmy Guap truther here. I believe in him. I think he's going to at least give some go here to stake some claim for himself for the future. Do you think Trey Lance, how many games do you think he gets into starts, let's say, this season?
I think that 5-6 week is kind of that push area. You know, if you're you know, betting on it type of thing, I think that's kind of the push bet type of thing where, and it really all depends on how San Francisco starts the season. If they start off 500, you know, they may make that switch sooner than later. But I also think that, you know, it's one of those that they went out and they traded and gave up some good capital to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo to begin with. And I think they kind of see this as a contract year for him, and they're going to do what they can to also set him up for success. Plus, it's one of those that when you've got a guy like Jimmy G that can be a capable starter in the league, I don't know that they necessarily want to go out there and proclaim that he's going to be riding that second QB behind him this early when they can still potentially get make a trade out for him, and by, you know, him being your backup, you're immediately putting that team in a tougher spot there to get fair, fair compensation for Jimmy G.
Sure. Yeah. 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 The investment's there, and San Francisco knows that as part of Shanahan's kind of lineage there as well. You know, he knows he has to get some return for that. So I what I like is that he hasn't really gone full out and taken that full on stance, much like Urban. Broncos named their starter. He hasn't gone out fully yet, but Trey Lance will obviously he's going to get his shot. You don't spend that capital on someone like that to bring them in and not do that, even if you have a quarterback that took you to the Super Bowl in the last 2 years, three years, you know? So I hope Jimmy gets a real good shot here. I thought he might get make his way back to New England, actually. I'll be honest. I thought he was going to eventually get back there, but doesn't seem that's happening. So,
thoughts on Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, who has the better season? I say it's Jeudy. Bridgewater is the quarterback. I mean, there was some hype earlier the off season about the connection that those two have. I think it's gonna be Jeudy.
That's a tough one for me. That's actually my hometown team and the team that I'm a fan of right there with the Broncos. And, you know, for that one there, it's an interesting deal because of the fact that when you're looking at both of those guys, they bring some very interesting and different skill sets to the roster and to the field. And, you know, some of the reports still coming out is that Courtland Sutton isn't necessarily, as explosive there. It seems like he still might be holding back a little bit, which we see sometimes with these knee injuries and with those leg injuries where guys aren't necessarily coming out and really, really as explosive as they were right before that injury. Now, I think you'll see that where he'll start coming around on that as the season progresses and as he gets further along through that. But right now, I would say that it's probably going to be Jeudy. You know, again, you guys already mentioned it with the connection that he and Bridgewater seem to have there. And that's kind of been one of the talk coming out of Broncos camp has been that connection there. And the fact that where you see Jeudy really excel is getting through the breaks and getting out of his routes very cleanly. And yeah. Bridgewater being able to deliver a very accurate ball, hit a guy in stride on time. So I think that one, just the style play tends to benefit Jeudy a little bit more there. But I am a big believer in the talent of Courtland Sutton and what he can do because of the fact that he is that 6'4", big body type of receiver, contested catch guy that can he can climb a ladder, bring it down, and he's just got the physical ability to make some amazing catches.
I just feel like Bridgewater is, like you're saying, his play style is more of that short, intermediate, just quick, get the ball out. Sutton's more that setup downfield. I mean, not that he's not gonna get, you know, thrown the ball, but like you said, I feel like Jeudy's gonna be a little bit more relied upon as he, like you said, breaks out of his breaks a lot quicker and a lot crisper with his, you know, short route running.
Yeah, well, especially if he earns that trust really on early with Brett Teddy too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what's also interesting there too is you think about it. Down in Carolina last year, they brought Robbie Anderson in, and the thought was is how are those two going to coincide there, because Robbie Anderson's go deep route kind of guy, and Teddy Bridgewater isn't really that. That kind of passer back there, and those two connected all season long and made some really amazing things work there. So we could see something similar to that, where instead of, you know, really trying to push the ball down the field, you know, the Broncos, end up playing a little bit more of that short and intermediate passing routes more often, and really kind of just, you know, convert, you know, the biggest problem with the Broncos is moving the ball consistently and converting third downs. And that's something that Bridgewater can certainly do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Derek, since this is your hometown team, I'm not going to waste this opportunity to ask you about two players. One, okay. KJ Hamler, dynasty-wise especially. What are your thoughts? I love Penn State wide receiver. I love a Penn State tight end, Pete Freiermuth. I see you out there. What are your thoughts on KJ Hamler?
So I'm not going to lie, when the Broncos first drafted him, I was kind of in shock there, because I thought there was bigger pieces that the Broncos needed to for that roster. But after kind of seeing him, you know, and how he fits into the system, I'm a big believer and big fan, and I think he can do some amazing things. It'll be very interesting to see how they continue to utilize his skill set, and really kind of that – you know, how he can get down the field and how he can get out of his routes. It'll be interesting to see how they utilize him. But it's one of those that since he was drafted, he's certainly grown on me as a Broncos fan, and I'm a believer.
Mm-hmm. Last year, without Courtland Sutton in the mix, KJ Hamler third in fantasy points behind Judy and Tim Patrick. I'm a big fan, and I think dynasty wise, he's a good piece to hold on to and a player to hold on to. That could eventually bloom for you in that offense, in that system and an organization that's still kind of fluctuating, figuring out what it's doing, obviously. So second, Noah Fant, anything to tell us about the leg injury or in regards to Noah Fant, what do you think his stock for this year?
You know, I still think Fant's going to be really good. He's got that. He is a giant, big body, athletic type of tight end. I haven't seen a ton come out yet on that injury. I saw that it happened. They're saying that he's going to miss this week for the preseason. They're thinking that he may be okay for week one. So at this point, it's really going to come down to what they figure out over the next couple of days, I think, with that. Because if he really is ready to go at 100% week one, we always see these guys, we always see players kind of get dinged up at some point during the preseason and during camp. So it's one of those that I'm going to wait a little bit more to see on that. But if the reports come out clean, healthy, he's good to go week one. I'm all in on that. But if he is going to be if this is going to be a lingering type of thing, or we're not necessarily sure what that looks like, he definitely moves down my tight end board.
Okay. Thanks. My dog agrees.
There we go.
Talking about quarterbacks. Now that the season is about to start, Sam Darnold is set to have a significant playing time tomorrow, which I'm very excited to see. I have a couple stocks of him. Oh, we lost Jeff. I have a couple stocks of Sam Darnold. What's your take on Sam Darnold? I'm excited.
So I think this is really the chance that Sam Darnold's going to be able to prove that he was worth that third round pick overall when the Jets took him, you know, a couple seasons ago. I think that he kind of, and when you look at the Jets, they always had a difficult time putting pieces around him to really allow him to be successful. And you started seeing that where, you know, a young quarterback that was constantly, you know, just kind of getting hit and popped behind the line of scrimmage, you started seeing he almost started seeing ghosts a little bit back there. Mm-hmm. I think that when we're in Carolina, he has a terrific receiving core that he gets to throw the ball to. They've got a pretty good line there to help protect him a little bit. And you've got a guy like Christian McCaffrey that's going to be able to take a lot of heat from what that defense is, because even if even if they get through the line, you've got him as a check down and away you go. So I think that you can
and
see him kind of
a great pass blocker too.
Absolutely. So I think you're going to see him resurrect himself this year and show why he was a first round pick and a third round over pick, third overall pick when he was drafted. So I love Sam Darnold for the value this year, especially in Superflex. It's not one of those that I'm eagerly going out there to put him on my my roster as my QB1. But
of course not.
But the way that you can set up these Superflex teams, and most Superflexes, you have to carry three quarterbacks on the roster anyway, just because injuries do happen. Mm-hmm. In that case, like I love the fact of where you can get him because I think he's going to finish up their QB2 range. But you can certainly roster him. Typically, no problem as your third QB.
Yeah, that's kind of how I've had him. QB3, QB2 sometimes, depending on how the draft goes, how deep the league is. But I think he's solid. I think he's going to be a decent QB2. I mean, he could be top 20, you know, easily with who he has as his wide receivers and running backs, you know. Definitely a steal, and I think, you know, if you're a team that was needy of quarterback in a super flex league, I would definitely go make an offer for him before the season starts, because once he starts making these connections with all these guys, I mean, his price is going to start to go up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Robbie, you know how I feel about this Carolina Panthers offense. Sneaky good, also sneaky fun for fantasy. I'm going to keep saying it because it's awesome. I'm excited for Robbie Anderson. He got the bag. Let's go to your extension. All right. No more Curtis Samuel. So guess what? DJ Moore back in it. Nice prime dynasty player to have on your roster. You know? And my favorite portion of this, particularly if you want to save some value, DFS type of thing, the Darnold to Arnold football head stack is amazing. Let's be honest. You know, Dan Arnold was brought in there to catch passes. And if for a value piece, and we're going to talk tight end still here along with Everett, if you want some value, that's not a bad piece to have if you're going deep into your tight end. So, I'm all in for Sam Darnold. I'm excited to see if he gets some playing time this weekend.
Unfortunately, one player that's not going to be out there that I was hoping to be able to see was Elijah Moore. I did notice though was Corey Davis. Corey Davis looked really good this last game. I don't know if you guys were able to see any highlights or watch any of the game, but Corey Davis' connection with Zach Wilson, I think is fire. I did talk. I don't know if you got a chance to hear what I said on the last podcast there, Derek. But I was saying something about Trevor Lawrence. I don't think he's going to have as awesome as a season as what everybody thinks he's going to have, at least this season.
Yeah, I have him kind of in the middle of the QB2 range. I know that a lot of folks have kind of started trying to sneak him up towards, you know, fringe QB1, high-end QB2. But, you know, it's one of those that I think he'll still have a decent finish for fantasy in a QB2 range. You know, probably somewhere 18, 19, 20 when it's all kind of said and done. But a lot of that is going to be because Jacksonville's defense is still not good. They're going to be trailing.
The defense looked decent from this.
Yo, listen, that's a bad team. I'm sorry. Jaguars, as much as Jaguars are going to be, Jaguars go to London every year for a reason. They're a bad team. They're still in flux. This personally, in
I'm not saying they're a top 10.
It's a no urban zone.
I didn't say they're a top 10 defense. I'm just saying they look pretty decent. They're getting better.
I mean, the whole Tim Tebow thing like got me fired up. I'm still thinking about it. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
So I think it's one of those that he'll have some decent fantasy numbers just because they're going to be behind in games. They're going to be trailing a lot, and you'll see him throw the ball. He's got the legs to make some magic happen on the ground, thus giving him a little bit higher floor than some of these other quarterbacks that are going to be finishing kind of around how I see him finishing. But I think it's one of those that when you look at those pass catchers there, DJ Chark and Marvin Jones – they're outside receivers and they tend to go a lot of deep routes there. So yeah, that line is still not great.
Yeah, I was gonna say the line doesn't give Lawrence any time.
They cannot protect him on Monday. They cannot protect Trevor Lawrence on Monday. That was a plain simple thing from that game that you could take away if you wanted a simple takeaway. That was it.
Right. Then you look at the fact that they lost ETN as well. So, you know, James Robinson is still a lot of folks. The ADP hasn't caught up with him yet, and folks aren't necessarily looking at him. So if you're going into a draft, smash the draft button on that one just because of the volume that he'll get. And Laviska Shenault's another one of those that he's going to be your short and intermediate type of guy there. So while I think he'll get there from a volume standpoint, I don't think that it's going to come pretty. And I don't know that it's going to come necessarily the way a lot of folks have him producing this year.
Mm. Yeah. Let's see. Who else do we need to talk about?
Sam Darnold? I mean, Darnold's going to kill it. That's a great super flex too. Yeah, I have so much QB2 roster build. Sam Darnold is ridiculous. You know, it's like literally I'm in crypto with Sam Darnold right now. It's ridiculous. Crypto love.
Well, I love the fact in Superflex you can still draft him at QB3. Like that's where he is, and like the value is through the roof.
Get yourself some Ben Roethlisberger too if you're there. They're around the same area, and he's going to have to toss a lot to prove himself this year. Why not? If you don't, if you're in a super flex and you have two, you have none. Get three.
Right.
Whoa. What do you guys think of this trade? I have a trade that came in from Goat Rush himself.
Yes. We don't spell it.
Super flex league. Here's the trade. I receive Mike Davis, Carson Wentz, and Kyle Pitts. And I send Derrick Henry, Irv Smith, and Jalen Hurts. My other QBs is Tua and Big Ben. And my running backs,
Okay, don't want to talk about running backs. I think that tight end exchange is a it's kind of a wash there. Is it?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen, I can't be doing no Mike Davis. Well, that's because he has CMC and Najee Harris. He wants a three-headed monster. It's not happening.
Why not? Yeah. He's leaning. Goat Rush is leaning on you. That's how he wins. He's leaning. I'm excited for these games on week 3. Do we have any thoughts on Friday, like which game you're watching? Like, because obviously Homer pick Steelers at Panthers. Speaking of Sam Darnold, so you know, but I'm a Steelers fan here, Derek. If you don't know, so Steelers at Panthers, and I talked about this today on my episode of the Fantasy Futures podcast. Ray McLeod is a really deep dynasty. We talk about names that don't get brought up much here. You know that, Robbie. And Ray McLeod, I've been talking about him all preseason, even last season a little bit. The Steelers organization is an organization that puts trust in that locker room, that in the locker room puts trust in certain players, and he already has that from last year. He has that equity built. And he looks like a good kind of reliable valve, say if James Washington comes off the roster, say if Deontay Johnson doesn't get over his drop issue, okay? Juju's going to be Juju, and Claypool, we know, is a monster. So there's only so many targets. Najee needs some. But knowing that those are the key pieces, Ray McLeod is someone I'm going to be watching this upcoming preseason game to see how he carves his roster spot.
Yeah, there's some deep leagues out there. It's definitely worth checking out for sure. Mm-hmm. Colts, Jacob Eason is going to be getting the start on Friday. Definitely want to see again him, see what he can, what's going on with him, because there was that little kind of like, is Ellinger, you know, really possibly pushing Eason for the start? And then we seen, you know, Ellinger throw two picks last week. Not a very good start. But Jacob Eason, be kind of interesting to see him again. Be nice to see him again, especially with, you know, Carson Wentz if you're a Carson Wentz owner, we've talked about it before, Wentz is set to, or at least looking to be ready for week one. But the Colts aren't really going to be playing all their starters this week. The Eagles, I am not believing that they're going to be starting Jalen Hurts. I'm pretty sure it'd be Joe Flacco again. But we do know Sam Darnold is going to be starting, which is going to be very nice to see with the Panthers. Mm-hmm. Especially against the Steelers' defense.
Yeah, just being a homer and knowing that, you know, the defense is deep. IDPers get a piece of that. Alex Highsmith, hello, value. You know, just seeing that would be really interesting. So, Derek, you know, your team's not up on Friday. Are you watching any games? Which game are you all on in on
for, yeah, like
a player or anybody?
Yeah, no, I try and watch every game that I can just so that I can get a feel for it and kind of see. And you know, it's always tough in preseason because you're always getting different groupings than what you'll normally see during the regular season while they try and figure out their rosters and that kind of stuff. So it's always a lot of fun to watch every game that you can, just because you tend to see the guys that you don't get to see much. And so that's why I really like the preseason, because you kind of get an idea of who these guys are and things like that, instead of just a lot of, you know, blogs that you read or little snippets here and there that you're able to read on them. But the game that I'm interested to watch tomorrow is the Steelers and the Panthers. And a lot of that has to do with all the reasons you guys have already brought up.
Mm-hmm. Fair. That's fair. Also a nice piece, thoughts on Pat Freiermuth. I just bring him up. 2 touchdowns last game against the Lions. Can he have some value in redraft? Both of you.
Well, that depends on what they, on
the league,
what Ebron does and what the Steelers really see as his role there, because Eric Ebron's, you know, his forte is not necessarily in the pass blocking, or the pass or run blocking realm. It's far more in a catch the ball and make some yardage through receivings, be that big body down there in the end zone. And that's where, I think Pat Freiermuth probably, he gives a little bit more of a pass and a run block option, than what Ebron does. I think he's a little bit better at that, more equipped for that. So it's one of those that could be how he makes his way onto the field and really start seeing some snap count creep up there. And that's going to be the best opportunity for him, is the availability for him to be out on the field when they're wanting to run the ball and get that run block, pass block, and then he'll potentially trickle out there. So I think that's where his road to seeing some starts comes into, but it's not one of those for redraft. I'm looking to put him on a roster, but definitely willing to put him on a watch list and see what that looks like.
Yeah. Something like that pushes a stock up really vastly. We know that. Look at Marquez Callaway. Mm-hmm. Well, Quez Watkins, we talked about a little bit, you know, that can really push. I was kind of curious of in that game, being a homer, obviously, and watching that game, and just very interested in what the consensus would be of that ADP, because he wasn't a huge sleeper. He wasn't a huge sleeper for those that are in Dynasty, because you knew he was coming out and you knew that they needed that piece. But when that happened, and obviously this being week 2, the show out week for this season, I was just very interested to see if you thought his ADP would rise from that. But yeah, I'd rather have Jonnu Smith still, Hunter Henry still.
Adam Trautman, I'd rather have Blake Jarwin.
You know, Trautman's
another one
down, right?
Yeah, they went down with the leg injury. They said it was nothing serious from the last time I saw, so I don't think that they're expecting him to miss time unless I missed something there.
You know, the last person that we heard that it wasn't very big?
Mm.
Travis Etienne.
Oh, unfortunate. Oh, so sad. You know, shout out to my boy Jared, because he graduated from Clemson, huge Clemson guy. And we've been talking a lot about Trevor, and we've been talking about a lot about Travis. And that was the big step. That was actually, for me, one of the best rookie like stashes to get. If you could get both in some particular way, you go for both in Dynasty League and stash them. But ETN.
Trautman is the 3 weeks.
Okay. That's not bad. So, yeah, I'll take it.
A person that is on the trending, I don't know if you guys have noticed or picked him up. I got him in a couple spots, but that's Juwan Johnson, wide receiver, tight end for the Saints, and he's been doing pretty decent in the preseason games. Let me pull up some of the stats here for you. I don't know if you guys seen.
I mean, I think the Troutman stock still, or it's the Troutman, you know, investment still just going to be valid enough for your dynasty ranking. You know, don't. I thought when I saw the injury and I saw Cart involved, I think I was kind of worried, but you know, unfortunately for me, I'm a taste. Derek, you're going to figure this out. I'm a Taysom Hill truther here too, and seeing that Jameis Winston is going to be in, I don't think his Troutman's values goes all that much up, because he's going to be throwing that deep ball to Callaway and Thomas when he gets back, and you know, there'll be a dump. There'll be those, you know, Alvin Kamara will get a share, but I don't know. Can he support a tight end, Jameis Winston, that type of tight end?
I think he can, because of the fact of how you look, how Troutman, you know, build, and same thing too. If they end up utilizing Taysom Hill, and Taysom Hill's a just an amazing athlete, so they may line him up at tight end there a lot and utilize his unique skill set there as well. But Troutman is no slouch himself when it comes to an athletic tight end. You know, had an absolutely fantastic player profile coming into the league, and just kind of got buried behind, you know, guys like Jared Cook, who was exactly what the Saints were looking for to fit into their system, and how that played out. And so it's really kind of unfortunate we're not going to, you know, maybe see him week one or see him at 100% week one. But yeah, when I was looking at it, it looks like they avoided major injury, and they're going to see a specialist later this week, and they think that it's just a minor injury and should be back soon.
I'm going to ask a question just because I'm staring at it right now, and we're talking about week three. Lions wide receiver to own. Well, sorry, wide receiver to have on your roster and manage. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyrell Williams. Other, who we got?
Can I take T.J. Hockenson?
That's all you need to take. He's the listen. Future is approved here, and Robbie, you know we have mutual love for the Hawk. Here, yes. Whew. Get him wherever you go. Get him. Go get him, y'all. Go get him. That's the receiver, much like in a Mark Andrews situation right now, personally, in my opinion.
I think he's really going to be a push for the top three this season.
Ooh, that's spicy. Ooh.
I mean, yeah, with what they have for receiving options.
Okay. So Kelce, Waller, Hawk, then?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, I honestly was thinking he would do that last year. And he was on pace for doing, you know, to be a top four, top three tight end. And then he kind of faded a little bit. But he was the one guy that was consistent. The only thing that wasn't consistent is the volume. They still had Marvin Jones. They still had Kenny Golladay. Who do they have now?
They got Tyrell Williams, Breshad Perriman.
I forgot. That's who it is.
T.J. Hockenson getting targeted 10 to 12 times, or at least catching 10 to 12 balls and going for at least 80 to 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yo, you only need seven or eight, I guess, even at that capacity. And he is the end zone target.
What we saw with Tyler Higbee, put down T.J. Hockenson.
You know that's right. I believe T.J. Hockenson is a
better player than Higbee is.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Maybe not by a whole lot, but I would say for sure better player.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna get too many people that argue that one otherwise.
Yeah. I'm a Amon-Ra St. Brown fan as well. I like the opportunity, similar to what Nico Collins has. You know, you don't know. You got maybe one other option there that's a receiving option. And we're in a bad team that might be bad, probably will be bad, you know. Amon-Ra St. Brown can really get in here and steal some value for you in a dynasty league.
I think so as well. If you're going to put me on the spot with like a redraft type of pick, though, and I've got to take a wide receiver off of that team, I can't have my Hockenson take there. the wide receiver that that I think I would go with is actually going to be Tyrell Williams. Mm-hmm. If I have to pick a wide receiver off of that one, he is a little banged up, but he is again a big body receiver that is going to get some targets there, and I think he'll do some pretty good things. Typically when we see rookies come into the league, it's usually the back half of the season we see him pop, and so that's one of those that not necessarily looking to draft Amon-Ra St. Brown because of the fact that I think that you'll be able to get him, week five, week six off the waiver wire, and you'll probably start to see him pop later on in the year if that breakout's going to happen. But if I've got to pick one Detroit wide receiver to draft out of the wide receiver room, I think it's Tyrell Williams for me.
You heard that, y'all. TJ Hockenson is the wide receiver to draft out of the,
yes.
out of the locker room. So that team fascinates me so much. So much. Anyway. Thank you, Derek. Yeah, appreciate that.
I don't think Tyrell Williams is gonna be terrible. But I do think that Hawkinson's gonna be the one that's gonna get a little bit more of the looks for the season.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, Tyrell Williams, we've seen what he does. He's going to get 40 to 50 receptions between about 600 and 700 yards and pull in a handful of touchdowns. So, if absolutely in dire straits, you can most likely play him and get something out of it.
Mm-hmm. But don't be in dire straits, y'all. Listen to the Dynasty 411 podcast and you won't be.
Absolutely. You'll have all the information to win.
Or the Good Old Boys podcast. Good Old Boys Fantasy podcast? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Good Old Boys Fantasy Football podcast.
There we go. I don't want to screw it up. That's why I didn't want to screw it up. All right, great. You'd be in the know. You'll be in the know. So,
anything else from these last two games?
I want to go back to this Travis Fulgham thing you said you brought up real quick.
Yeah.
Roster bubble-wise. Listen, in a redraft league, I traded away the home league. Traded away Travis Fulgham and got OBJ in the middle of a season. Now, this is a fun league, whatever, but that's the value that he had at that particular time. Now, he's going to get cut here. He's going to. You got Greg Ward. You got my guy, futures proof, Jalen Reagor. You got Quez Watkins, who's not a secret anymore. Then you got Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell, and you got some other pass-catching running backs. Targets are going to run out here. You got two tight ends you got to support. With a primarily rushing upside quarterback. I think Travis Fulgham goes out somewhere. Maybe he ends up on Detroit or some team. I don't know. What were your thoughts on what happens with him or Philadelphia's wide receivers?
Well, and remember, too, they drafted Devonta Smith in the first round this year, too. So you're right. It's one of those that, he's back there competing for the third or fourth overall wide receiver on this team type of thing, because you just spent two first round picks the last 2 years on wide receivers, and you've got to give them a shot to see what this really looks like. And so I remember what you're talking about last year. There was some times that, if you had a Travis Fulgham on your roster, you could make some pretty big trades and make some pretty big splash trades because of what he was looking like on the field and how he was trending for fantasy football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, adjust, people. You got to adjust and sometimes stay water. That's how I got OBJ, and that person didn't. And I got OBJ, and he scored. He won me at least two or three games before he went down for the rest of the season. Then I got cocky and picked him up at the end for like a lucky piece in the championship game and lost. So, don't listen to me, I guess. But, Eagles, I love it. I'm Jalen Hurts truther as well. I think he has a lot of value. Also, this is a no slander Miles Sanders house. Fantasy Future Podcast. But Robbie, same thoughts. You love Devonta Smith too. We've talked about Devonta Smith.
Yeah, I love Devonta Smith. I'm very excited. I mean, this is just even more good news to show that the Eagles don't see that they need some of these players anymore. Mm-hmm. That they can move on. They have the guy that they're looking for.
Yeah. Transition's coming for that team. Baker Mayfield ends up as a top 18 quarterback. Yay or nay?
Yay.
Yeah.
15?
Yeah, I could see him. I could see that kind of being the line for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's real close here. Yeah.
I don't see it getting much higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think. I'm not really thinking. If you need.
Well, didn't you have a top? Did you have a top five, Derek?
Yeah. Do top five before we go.
Yeah. So, let's make sure we get that in.
Gotcha. I mean, I can go about any way that we want to go with this. Right now, I guess the kind of way that I'll answer this is, since we're kind of heavy into redraft season and we're heavy into draft season, I'll kind of go with the top five guys that I've been targeting out there when it comes to the drafts. And first round guy I'm going after is Zeke Elliott. I love the fact of where you can get him in drafts right now, because a lot of people look back on what happened last year and discount that. And I think you're going to see a big resurgence for him this year. Dak is back, and you know, we all need to remember that when Dak was there, Zeke was a top three running back each one of those games. Look at, I think kind of my second favorite pairing that I've been loving a lot there is pairing him up with Austin Eckler in that second round. I don't know if you guys saw that Austin Eckler put out a tweet earlier today that, yeah, if you draft him and take a screenshot of him in your starting lineup and win and send that to him, you're going to be entered in for a signed Austin Eckler jersey. So that's pretty darn cool.
Get Austin Eckler, get some air guitar and a jersey.
Exactly. And it's a fact that, you know, kind of listening and watching to Austin Eckler has very quickly become kind of a favorite of mine, just because of the fact of, you know, he actually seems to take the fantasy space, more seriously than a lot of other folks out there, and definitely is a fun guy to just have out there and have talking about fantasy football. So, loving that one. Another guy that I'm big on in running backs that you can get early that a lot of times has been just racing up draft boards recently, but I was loving it earlier on the season because you could get Antonio Brown as a third round pick, and now you're having to try and get that in about a sec. I'm sorry, not Antonio Brown, Antonio Gibson. Has moved up firmly into a second. But, yeah, if we're looking later on in the draft, some of those guys, you know, I mentioned Gerald Everett is another big one that I've been trying to put on rosters everywhere I can, just because I think, as we already mentioned, he's going to have some amazing big things going on there. And another one is CeeDee Lamb. I think you're going to see CeeDee Lamb have the I think this is the season that he could potentially push Amari Cooper for that wide receiver one in Dallas. And I think you're going to see both of those wide receivers finish incredibly high, but I think CeeDee Lamb does have the higher ceiling out of the two, and you could be very surprised on what he's, where he finishes when it comes to fantasy this year.
I love that. I'm not going to say anything else. CeeDee Lamb, love it.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb. I've been trying to get him in some spots.
Oof, I pick him up everywhere I can. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. And I pursue. And I mean pursue. Whew, he's going to be great. I love – go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things that I've been loving is, you know, because he's kind of in that fourth, fifth round. And so, you know, a lot of folks go, well, I want CeeDee as, like, my second wide receiver. Mm-hmm. The way I typically draft, that's not going to be an option. But – the way that a lot of drafts have fallen to me recently is the fact that I can pick up CeeDee in the fourth and then turn around and get an Allen Robinson in the fifth. And so you get that, just that proven target monster in an Allen Robinson. That's just going to point up and you consistently be kind of that wide receiver one for you week in, week out. And then you got the upside of CeeDee Lamb. So yeah, just kind of one of those tips that I've been telling folks is, you don't necessarily, if you get two really good wide receivers on there, it doesn't necessarily matter if you took one ahead of the other, because you can get some pairings like that will make a ton of difference for your fantasy this year.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yep. Okay.
I appreciate it. Nice top five, man.
Love it. Derek, tell us where they can find you.
So I'm part of the Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast. Myself, along with my co-hosts Kevin and Alex, do everything we can to try and help you guys win cash and trophies. And we do that through our socials. We got Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Good Old Boys FF. You can find the podcast. We release it weekly. The Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And then we do our live stream of our Tuesday show on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. the Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast on YouTube. And as the season starts progressing, we're going to roll the Tuesday show. We're going to roll a Friday early preview show for the games coming up. And then we'll do a Sunday morning start sit type of mailbag show.
Woo! So
lots of big things coming.
Hustling out here.
And where can we find you, Jeff?
Me. Anywhere you want to search and listen to podcasts, just listen to the Fantasy Futurist Podcast. You can also join the Futurist Foundation Discord. Also, where you listen to podcasts, just click into the profile and find the link. You're already set. The invite's there. Come join the Futurist Foundation, and my future self will be forever grateful for you for that.
And you guys already know to join our Facebook group page, the Dynasty 401. And to follow me on Twitter at the Dynasty 401, Jarrett at GoatRush1. We don't spell it out here. We say it. Guys, there's going to be another podcast. I'm gonna have another one this weekend for you guys. Talk about Friday games. We're going to break it up a little bit. I got some time. So we're going to get some podcasts out there. Talk about these preseason week three, last preseason before the season starts. Be sure to check out our sponsor, myvtrophy.com. Thanks, Derek. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you guys coming on, as always. Guys, we're going to have them back on again, talk some more football. You guys have a great start to your weekend. Peace out.